all things work together for good towards those who love the Lord, our God, and are called according to His purpose. Now, called according to His purpose means you're referred to as being in line with or operating in accordance with God's purpose for you and for the world, for this life. So it's kind of lining up with His word as being a call according to His purpose. Walking after His ways would be referred to also as called according to His purpose. So you need to be walking after the, we need to be walking after the ways of God. And we need to love God, you know, who love Him, really love Him. You know, we appreciate Him, like what He does. Now, God knows more about us than we do. He cares more about us, probably, than we can care about ourselves, because He understands us better. He can overlook things better. We don't forgive even ourselves for mistakes we make and the things we do or don't do and say and don't say, and our regret leads to unforgiveness even towards our own self. It's a big problem. Unforgiveness is a problem towards each other, but it's also a problem towards our own selves. We beat ourselves up for things we have done or haven't done, for not being able to decide and leave. But God knows us, and He forgives us. So that's how He can love us more than we can love ourselves, because He understands us deeply, and He overlooks our faults and shortcomings. He just looks past those things to see the part of us on the inside that is permeated with His Spirit, which is our inner man, our essential inner man, which is our spirit. The moment we become children of God, receive Jesus into our hearts, He really becomes into our hearts. His Spirit penetrates our spirit. He actually comes and takes up residence or joins with our spirit. The two become one. Both spirits, Jesus' spirit, Christ's spirit, and our own, become as one within these bodies. Okay, now, back to what I was saying before, that our God, with God loving us the way He does, greater than we do, seeing things that are to come, sees our life from beginning to end, sees how we can be with other people and how we can be in the world. He knows what will nurture us the best. He knows what will enrich our lives to the fullest degree. He knows what will satisfy us, both now and long term, okay? And obviously, if you look back at your own life and look at some of the decisions your carnal flesh or your desires of the flesh led you to follow after, they may be short-lived joys and short-lived pleasures, but then there's regret afterwards. There's damage that comes out of it. There's hurt that comes out of it. There's separation that comes out of it. And again, there's unforgiveness that can come out of it. So a lot of short-term gain that's pursued for the wrong reasons, and particularly for the reasons that God would not want us to pursue after, bring negative consequences. It's very clearly known. Adultery is one good example of that, but it's just a simple example. There's multiple ways that we can follow after the flesh, the lust of the flesh, not walk into the ways of God. And again, it looks good for the moment. We can succumb to the moment and succumb to our desires, but end up losing long term. It costs us more than it gains. The gain is short term and it's superficial. Same way with the pursuit of money. People who worship their money and pursue their money and are secure in their finances and their wealth, as Jesus said, it's very, very difficult to get for them to get into the kingdom of God. So, in a sense, they may be happy all their life, but they can't buy health when their health fails. They can't extend their lives when death comes upon their door. And they have no business after this life in the kingdom of heaven. Matter of fact, they could very well be dooming themselves to suffer the penalty of permanent death, death of the spirit, separation from God, which after this life, there's no turning around, there's no recovery from. So imagine eternal death, just for trusting in your riches and not turning to the Lord Jesus and trusting in Him for what you need in this life. But that's, again, the lust of the flesh. And that's, unfortunately, one of the things that we go through in life and do not, that cause us to not walk in God's ways. So back to what I was saying, though, is walking in God's ways, being called, being referred to, or being called according to His purpose, okay? Not like He called you, but that other people will refer to you or call you. He's up to God's purpose. He is walking according to what God has designed for his or her life. Okay? So called according to his purpose, loving the Lord with our hearts, and all things work together for our good. All things. Even the ones that don't look that great. Okay? It looks like, this isn't working out too good. It will work out good. For us, somehow it'll work out for good. God will make sure that. That's what one of His promises is in His Word. All things work together for good towards those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. It's funny, I've heard people many, many times use that scripture out of context and just say, oh, all things work together for good. All things, you've heard that people say that before. I may have said that in the past. Before I actually read the scripture. And it's only towards those, at least as far as God's concerned, only towards those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So what I'm saying here is, it's important for us to love the Lord. It's important for us, and Jesus actually put that as the number one priority anyways. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Two highest commandments that He gave us out of the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Now, so God's capable of working all things together for our good. He loves us more than we could possibly love ourselves because of His nature, because of His ability and desire to forgive us when we won't even forgive ourselves. He knows what our future holds. He knows from beginning to end what's going to work out best for us, okay? So He has our best interest in mind. And He knows more about working out things for our good and giving us a satisfying, happy life than we do, for sure, okay? Because we don't really see the future. So there's a couple of things that we have to do, though. We have to, in order to be called according to His purpose, or in order to walk in God's ways, there's a couple of things that's important for us to do and to keep doing. We have to learn what God's ways are. What are His purposes? What's His agenda? What is He like? Okay? What does He want His people here on this earth to do after they're born again? What's He want to accomplish or be involved in? What are His ways that He wants us to walk in? Okay, number one. So we have to discover those. The way you discover them is through reading the Bible, because that is full of the experiences of men who have gotten close to God, who love Him, who have taken His ways seriously, and have written about their experiences, what God has taught them about Himself, about themselves, about mankind, about God's purposes, His will, His ways for mankind. So they've learned these things, and God has taught His people who pressed into Him and followed His ways. So there's been people before us that have experienced God, thousands of years of people, mankind experiencing God, and experiencing walking in His ways, and sometimes not walking in His ways, but writing about the results of walking in His ways and not walking in His ways, okay? So that it's kind of, we can learn from their experience and learn from their observations as to what works and what doesn't work. And when you learn what God wants and you walk in His ways, then as they point out, you receive maximum benefit in your life. Okay? All things end up working together for your good, short term and long term. I mean, like eternally working out together for our good when we love the Lord and walk after His ways. So study the Bible. Read, just keep your mind on it. Read it. Find out what it is that God is wanting us to do. How is He wanting us to be? And how to get there. Okay? So the second thing is, once we've studied His ways, we've kind of become familiar with His ways, so we can distinguish what is of Him and what is not of Him. Then we have to learn to be led by the Spirit of God so that we can moment by moment walk in His ways. The Holy Spirit is put within us to empower us to do God's work here on this earth. And He has been put it within us also as our teacher, our number one teacher, actually our only teacher as far as that goes. He's the only teacher of our heart, and our heart is the only teacher of our man, our outer man. We're going to go with our heart, okay, ultimately, unless we're so disconnected we have no internal sense of who we are and what we're about, what our nature is and what our calling is. But most of us, getting into adulthood, we discover that we have a sense of ourselves on the inside. Intuition, we may call it. Some people say, I'm going to follow my heart, I'm going to follow my gut on this, a gut feeling about something. I mean, it's just this kind of inner sense that kind of overrules us, the rest of our man, in circumstances when we have to make a choice or a decision that's important. So that inner man, that's our true self. I mean, that is our core being. That is also, again, where the Holy Spirit takes up residence, was within our own hearts. As Paul pointed out in his writing to Romans, that the love of God, which is the Spirit of God, because God is love, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost when we are born again, when we first believe in Jesus Christ with all of our hearts. That turns us into a new creature. We become a child of God. We become alive spiritually, born again spiritually. Our spirit is born anew, and our flesh obviously has been born of water. Our man has been born of water. But at that point, our spirit becomes alive. It's born the first time. Where it had been dead once, now it becomes alive by the presence and the joining of our spirit with God's spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit within our hearts. But He's there to lead us and guide us and comfort us and teach us and to reveal things that are in the future, reveal things that are hidden. There's so many benefits that God has given us as His children. It's our inheritance. Paul, in his writings, pointed out that the Spirit of God is given to us at the moment of our new birth, is given to us as a deposit within us, a deposit that God has made inside of us, a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Now, when you find out what your inheritance is, which is all good things, as we've mentioned, all good things are literally our inheritance as children of God. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit's put here to kind of assure that what we believe for, you know, what we have faith for, what we've read in God's Word, what He was told us directly about what we've inherited or what is good, and everything good is what lines up with His ways, His desires for us, then we can pursue those things fervently, trusting in the Holy Spirit of God as the power within us to bring those things to pass. Now, He'll do all that for us in our lives, because we've inherited those things already. So He wants us to have what we've inherited, or He never would have left it to us. You know, it's the nature of inheritances. They're designed for the beneficiary to enjoy. Okay, so God wants us to enjoy all that we've inherited now. In this life, we've already inherited it. We already have the Holy Spirit as the deposit within us to guarantee that inheritance, that which we have inherited. So, you know, we need to dig into the Word. We need to dig into God and find out, what is it? What have we inherited? What is it that you wanted us to have so much so that you put your Spirit to make sure that whatever it is, whatever we tap into, whatever we discover and believe for, believe is ours, you make it come to pass for us. What are those things? So, as I said, we need to discover what we've inherited, discover what God's desire is for our lives, what lines up with, what kind of a life lines up with the life He wants for us, because that's how it's going to work out the best for us. And if the Holy Spirit, or since the Holy Spirit's inside of us, how do we tap into Him more? How do we walk more sensitive to His voice, His instruction, and His guidance and His teaching so that we can more quickly and more readily get to where God wants us to be and get away from where He doesn't want us to be in this life? It's going to be a lot easier to do in heaven. How do we do it now? How do we become sensitive now, especially when there's so much carnality around us daily? The radio, the TV, the people we work with, the people we live with, that duties and responsibilities and demands and terrors and worries and all kinds of things, burdens of just, you know, money coming in, honestly, and meeting your needs and improving your lifestyle. I mean, all these kinds of things that we, in the natural, are faced with and try to work out on a daily basis, you know? And how do we tune out all that or minimize the volume on it, at least, to where we can hear from the Holy Spirit within us about these things? About what to do in life, how to pursue life. The Holy Spirit, He knows everything. I mean, He knows everything. He knows what God knows. He has permanent, 100% nonstop, know-everything access to God. So whatever God knows, which, okay, yeah, everything, the Holy Spirit knows. And He's within us. He's within us as our guide, as our helper, to lead us in our ways, to shine a light on our steps so we know which way to go, so that it works out for our good, okay? He can deal with money. He can bring wealth and riches into our house when we're sensitive enough to it. He can bring healing into our lives, into the lives of, He can not only do these things for us, He can do all of these things and wants to do all these things for others as well. The weak in the church, those who aren't as strong spiritually as you and I, or have not had the Word become alive in them like it has maybe in us, well, He'll use us in their lives. He'll use us in the lives of the lost as a testimony to His power and His goodness and His reality in this world, so that the lost, having witnessed His power, will turn to Him and repent of their ways. And they in turn will become born and within their spirits and inherit, one of the promises, they'll inherit His everlasting life, but they'll actually inherit everything you've inherited. So they can then start down that road of finding out, discovering what it is that they've inherited and exploring it, and then they'll be equipped at some point, hopefully, to share that with somebody else and get their lives turned around and saved from destruction. So, being led by the Spirit of God, I know one of the things that He's given me in the past to learn, and He still teaches others through the same Word, is that we need to learn to distinguish between a thought, which comes from your mind and your experience, and is often can be shadowed by worldliness, to discern a thought from a knowing, because a knowing comes from a different place. A knowing comes from your heart, and in your heart is the Holy Ghost, giving information directly to your heart. The two of them are one, literally at that point. We're one with the Holy Spirit on the inside. So it's kind of like I pictured like we were a glass of water, or really more like we're a vial of food coloring. And at the moment we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior with all of our hearts, we were made alive spiritually by the living water being dumped or mixed in with our liquid inside, which was our spirit, our own spirit. Let's just say it was food coloring. Well, eventually, that whole mess becomes mixed up. I mean, it's just a big glass of water here, or a big vessel of water. It's living water, though, now. Not dead water, it's living water. And it's the color of us, our particular unique color, a flavor of who we are as a human being, who we were created to be. Now is blended with the Holy Spirit within us. So the two have become one. You have the qualities of God in all of his abilities and capabilities, and you have the qualities of your inner man as God designed you from the very moment of conception. And the two have become one. We're unique individuals in that regard. We're all common in the fact that we have the Holy Spirit within us. So that gives us a large degree of commonality on the inside within our spirits and gives us a connection with one another, an unbroken, constant connection with all those who are living spirits on this planet. We're all connected in that regard because the Holy Spirit is that living presence of living water in all of us, and he's that same spirit in all of us, so he joins us together as one. We are one body. We are one entity, one being, literally, multiple components, one an eye, one an ear, one a nose, one a hair, one a toe, one a liver, one a kidney, one an appendix, all different components but of one body. In other words, we're collectively slightly different variations of the same thing, of Christ's body. But together, we all uniquely have a way of delivering God to the world. But together, we do it as one. God coordinates our actions, ultimately, or tries to, so that we're operating as one body and we're all supporting each other and confirming what others do through our own testimony and through our own actions here in this world, because while we're all unique and able to do certain things apart from one another, we now are able to do things like one another, and that is to reveal God to the world because of him being within us. So discerning a thought, which comes from your mind, from a knowing, which comes from your heart, is very important. It's something we need to practice doing. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. Ask the Father for help. And work with it. You know, just discern it. Look at things that work out good when we're trusting in a knowing from our gut, and look at things that don't work out so good. It's probably more of those initially. That's just more like a fleeting thought. We're wondering, gee, was that God or was that me? Okay? Look for a knowing to come from your belly, a gut feeling, you know, just something on the inside, intuition, not really something you're thinking about. It's just something you're knowing. It transcends the level of your mind. It's deeper than that. It's just deeper. Look within, deep within, and look for knowledge to come out of that area, because it is a different place within your body that those the thoughts and knowledge or spiritual information are centered. So practice discerning those two, so that we and get quiet enough to do it, so that you can learn to hear the voice of your own spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Again, they're one within you. And he can then train you up more rapidly and lead you in the ways you should go, so that your life will be according to the ways of God. And his guarantee is that all things will work together for your good as a result. That's one of the promises that we've inherited, one of the rights we've inherited from Him, and we've been guaranteed by God and given the Holy Spirit to guarantee for us and bring to pass for us. So we want what's best. We want what's good for our lives. We've got to let go of trying to do it ourselves. We've got to grab onto the ways of God to get it done. Amen.